Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what I'm talking about today, but welcome to the very first edition of Yakuza Kick Radio. I am your host, Eric William, along with the man of the hour, the man with all the power, a CZW historian and longtime CZW fan, Mr. J. Cat Morris. Jay, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm hyped up for this. We're about to do some shit. Before I get into this, we start asking questions to get our guests and everything. I just want to kind of lay out what this is going to be. Obviously, the name of this is dedicated to Trent Acid and always will be. As long as I'm on the radio, that's going to be dedicated to him. But this overall is just a no-holds-barred, balls-count-anywhere, fucking knockdown, just straight wrestling show. I mean, we can get into any other topic in the world. Just anything goes, man. This is just shooting the shit, just coming out and just having a good time. You know what I mean? So that's more or less what we're working with.
Yep, and we'll definitely be, you know, talking a lot of wrestling and having a lot of guests on when we need to. We have a very special guest coming on tonight. And he's been involved with a lot of things over the last couple of years and just recently has been, you know, really influential in pulling off a very, very big show that happened, I believe, this past weekend, if my memory corrects me or serves me correctly, which was Acid Fest. And that's one Johnny Cashmere. And we'll be having him on at around 11:05 p.m. Eastern time. And for all you listeners out there, you're listening to the Yakuza Kick Radio Show. You're live on blogtalkradio.com/YKRonline. And for phone calls, we ask for the first show and the first couple shows that we will take only chat room we'll talk in the chat room with you, and you could ask questions for the guests and, you know, make a comment. And you need to also register to be in the chat room, or you can't type in the chat room because guests only can read the stuff in the chat. But yes,
I can't do cricket noises or I give it to you. But anyway, I just wanted to promo just real quick. You know, I mean, put out here for those who don't know who Johnny Cashmere is. This man was one half of the Backstreet Boys, best tag team ever on the Northeast. Period. And, you know, I mean, he's won countless titles. He's toured the world. He was actually the reason why I got into independent wrestling altogether. I mean, he blew my mind in the show. There was 75 people in the crowd, and these guys were doing spots you wouldn't even believe. From there, brought me to CZW, and, you know, the rest is history. And, you know, I just want everybody to understand that. I mean, it's a big thing we got here.
I totally agree. And what was that?
I said, don't you think, Eric?
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited to have Johnny on the show because it's going to be a lot of fun talking to him and, you know, just hearing what he has to say. And, you know, the guy has a lot on his mind, and he's a, you know, he's just like us. He's a wrestling fan, you know what I mean? So, you know, talking about wrestling and talking about what's going on in the business, it's, you know, quite an experience talking to a person other than ourselves. I mean, why would we want to talk to ourselves? No, you didn't get the joke. Actually, let me go ahead and I see that Johnny is supposed to be on the line. Let me go ahead and if this Blog Talk Radio switchboard will work, I believe we're gonna have Johnny on. Let me click on this real quick, and I believe we have Johnny Cashmere on the line. Is this Johnny?
Yeah, you hear me, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Great. Awesome.
Welcome
we have
to the show.
On the line with us too. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Not a problem.
Welcome to the show. All righty, Johnny. This is your first. Well, this is the debut episode of Yakuza Kick Radio. And like Jay was introing you, one half of the Backseat Boys and one half of Vanilla Man Candy. Jay, you want to start off with a comment or a question?
Well, I'd just like to start off for, thanking Johnny and every single fan and worker and everybody that participated in the Acid Fest, just because, I mean, the turnout was unbelievable, and the amount of money that they raised was just, it was great. I mean, it's great to see.
Definitely. Thanks, guys, for being there. And, you know, you guys really, I don't think you guys even understand how much you guys helped us promote it. I probably ran 200 events in my life, and every single one I made flyers for and posters and was out, you know, with the students walking the town door to door, radio interviews, I mean, press releases. And this one, I just put out a few posts on Facebook. That was it. And, you know, I mean, part of me wishes I could go back, and I'm still grieving, but I'm not as bad as I was. You know, I'm back to mostly the normal now. But if I could go back, you know, to 3 weeks ago and I had flyers made and I would have gone around South Philly, there were so many people that didn't even know about the event.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we could have oversold that building. And but that's just me. I'm a perfectionist. We did great. I'm thankful for everyone that came out. I'm pretty sure that we probably hit, I don't know the exact figure of his funeral expenses, and I'm sure I never will. But if I think I know fate and karma the way I think I do, I'm betting we probably hit it just about on the dime.
Wow.
So that's got to take some, you know, worry off the family.
That's amazing.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm
And one thing, that I want to say, and I want to congratulate you guys, I mean, on doing this, is that you guys really, I mean, I don't know what, I mean, if it's, I mean, what it was, but it just felt like, you know, a real trip. Like, everybody was out there busting their butts, like everybody said they were going to do. I mean, like, I had Homicide on my other radio show, and, you know, Homicide was like, I'm going to bust my ass. And, you know, I heard him on a Jersey All-Pro radio show this past Sunday, and he said that he was, you know, wrestling hurt, that he had a lot of injuries, been banged up, and just the guys that were doing this, I mean, guys were coming out of retirement for the show and just, you know, really busting their butt. And I think that they, you know, these guys will never, I mean, these guys will always remember, you know what I mean, that where they came from. You know, you could tell where these guys come from.
Homicide probably be upset with me if he knew I told you, but, you know, he probably, I don't want to say got heat, but, you know, I'm sure he's not, you know, the TNA offices weren't thanking him for doing the Trent Acid show. You know, I mean, I'm sure that
That's
wasn't their most favorite thing. And not only that, he donated a very large sum of money to the family, to the funeral. He's the one that went out and personally bought all the streamers for the ending. You know, that was his idea. I mean, he's just a good dude. You know, it's like he doesn't want you to know that, but he is, and he really came through huge. He came through huge for Trent and for everybody, and I was overwhelmed personally. I mean, he even came down here in the Philly a day early, you know, made sure he met with me so that everything was taken care of. I mean, it was just, it couldn't have been handled better, and I think now I have to take all the energy that existed on Saturday, all of that positive energy that was in the building, and I have to parlay that into the future somehow. And that's sort of what
Absolutely.
I've been brainstorming. And I had a long conversation with Matt Walsh, my tag partner. He's actually on the line with us right now, guys, if that's cool. Matt, you might as well say hi.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on, Matt?
Just chilling.
Cool.
Having me on.
Matt's going to talk to you guys a little bit later about, like, WWE developmental and his class. But we'll get to that in a minute. But me and Matt have been brainstorming about our tag team, Vanilla Man Candy. And the way we're promoting our tag team is Vanilla Man Candy, a spinoff of the world-famous Backseat Boys tag team. So that way, you know, we sort of keep the Backseat Boys name alive. One thing I have to mention is, you know, standing in that arena, guys, with the place going insane and all the people and Trent's family and all the workers and the videos of Trent, and you got a real sense for how big of a person Trent was, how big of a character he was. And imagine how Matt must feel coming and trying to step in to be my new tag team partner, you know? That's got to be.
Good luck, buddy.
I'm hoping it's a successful spinoff, you know, more like Frasier was with Cheers.
Yes.
All right.
Was Trent's favorite comedy. That was Trent's favorite show, by the way, Frasier. That's
great,
funny.
Show.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But, you know, it's. I want to alleviate some of the pressure off Matt right now and say that when I first met Trent, which was, we're talking 12 and a half years ago, I remember I was a suburban boy from New Jersey, as white bread cracker honkies can get. I mean, I had never been out of the suburbs. I had no life experience. Scared of my own shadow. I think I was actually more than a virgin, if that's possible. I mean, I just had no idea. And I'll never forget the first day of wrestling training was the first day I had ever been in the Philly, other than like a class trip to the art museum or something. So it was the first time I ever saw like the South Philly streets and how close the houses were together. And I remember driving down the road just with my mouth open. I was like, whenever you see Steve Regal come to the ring with that look he has on his face where he's smelling something bad, like I had that look the whole day. I was just like, this kind of place really exists? I mean, that's what a culture shock it was for me. And Trent, we used to say we were like the guys from My Blue Heaven, Steve Martin and Rick Moranis. Trent was the opposite. He was easygoing, comfortable in any situation. One of the most free-spirited, uninhibited people I've ever met in my life. And it was to the point where just being around him for a few minutes, you knew exactly what kind of person he was. You knew exactly how he lived his life. You knew that he played by his own rules. And he did it all in a very humble, kind way. He didn't even rub people the wrong way.
Right.
So I think what Trent did to me, it's almost like he extracted my personality. I didn't have a choice. When you're around Trent, Trent didn't want to miss a minute, okay? He didn't sleep, hardly. He was always experiencing, come on, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. And I was like, Jesus, Trent, let's sleep. Let's relax. No, we'll sleep, you know? He just didn't want to relax. And he got so much done in such a little time. And towards the end, I really just couldn't even keep up with him. And I think that him taking me by the hand and forcing me to experience things, forcing me to come out of my shell, forcing me to do things I would never do, it made me change who I am. You know, any good TV show or movie has a character arc for the main character. They start off as one thing, and by the end of the movie, there's something completely different, and you got to watch them change. And if it's done right, then it's perfect. It's great. And I think that I don't know what my character arc would have been like without Trent. I have no idea. I would probably still be that shy, you know, scared, in my shell person. I probably wouldn't have much more life experience than I had 12 years ago, to be honest with you. So, you know, Trent sort of changed me as a person for the better forever. And I think that it's now my job to sort of do that for Walsh, not as much as a person. He's older. I was 20 back then. I was still forming my personality. Matt's formed. Matt's not going to learn any, you know, different there. But as far as wrestling goes and mentally, you know, it's time for me to be the Trent Acid, and Matt Walsh to be with Johnny Cashmere. So you only need to fill Johnny Cashmere's shoes, Walsh. I think you can do that. They're not quite as big as Trent's triple E fat shoes that he used to bust out of. That's no joke, guys. His shoes, his feet were so abnormally wide, and he wouldn't bother going to get special shoes made. So if you ever watch his matches, he busts out of the side of his sneakers, wrestling boots, even Magnums he busted out of the side of. I never saw anything like it. But anyway, that's what's going to happen now over the next couple of years with Vanilla Man Candy. You know, I get to be the senior guy. I get to be the one that's sort of paying it forward. See, you know, I don't pay Trent back. I now pay it forward to Matt. And maybe years later, you know, Matt will take on a tag partner or someone that he can mentor, and he'll pay it forward like that. Do you know what I mean, guys?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I kind of wanted to, you know, over the course of the show, I wanted to hit a few of the, you know, memories I had in the past of, you know, things that you accomplished, you know, both with Trent and, you know, by yourself in singles. And just,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, to remind you what you had, I mean, from the start, I mean, you know, Trent might have brought it out of you, but you had it, you know. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, even back in, you know, the Donnie B shows back then when you guys were running ladder matches that blew the Hardys out of the water. And, I mean, brought people like me into the wrestling business. I mean, you guys were young. I mean, and just
yeah,
brought
me
into being a fan. And
I remember
yeah,
you that night. I remember seeing you with your girl.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the matches were just unbelievable. And whether it was you and Trent versus Burke and Blade, or you versus Blade, whether there were 70 people in the crowd or 100 or whatever it was, I mean, you guys were doing spots that most people wouldn't dare do, like, you know, sentons to the floor. No, you know, you laying on the ladder with Blade coming, you know, out of the ring like a madman. I mean that was unbelievable shit, you know. And I mean, that, you know, fast forward from that to what was the other thing? Yeah, when you went to Unbreakable Johnny, and
mm-hmm.
You took the DVD off the concession stand off of Lobo.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Entered the zone. I think that was March 01.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I remember Zandig was in Japan, and he called after the show and said, "How'd the show go?" And they said, "Well, Johnny went off a thing, whatever." He said, "I need to not be at the show more often. I guess that kid will wrestle his hardest without me there," he said. He made fun of me. Yeah, that was funny.
Now, do you think that catapulted, like, their belief in you in doing that type of style?
Yeah,
you know?
What happened was, I took the DVD from Lobo, and then, like, a month later, we went and did that Sunday Night Heat thing on MTV for WWF.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I walked in the building, and I said hi to Michael Cole, Taz, and Paul Heyman. And the first thing Taz said, "Well, which one of you guys took the DVD off the concession stand?" And I sort of put my head down and my hand up, and Trent immediately, with both hands, pointed to me. You know, because that's not flat. He wasn't trying to flatter me. He was disgusted. He thought I was a backyarder. And I said, he said, "Oh," he goes, "well, how did that go?" I said, "It hurt, you know." I said, "but I had the presence of mind to wear an indoor hockey girdle, so I didn't break my hip." And I said, "Oh, well, that's smart." He said, "but let me ask you a question. Do you know how to do a headlock?" Says to me. I said, "Taz."
Wow.
I said, "Taz." I said, "I was trained by the Pitbulls. I said, I know what I'm doing." I said, and Paul was there, and Paul had invited me and Trent to an ECW show, their last ECW show at the arena, and me, Trent, and Loki were the three, and brought us up on the stage, told us to make ourselves at home, and then gave us we had an April 20-something start date, we were told, and we were supposed to feud with York and Matthews, was what we were being told.
Yeah.
So Heyman knew we were good. And he even told us, like, you know, it was like a minute before we went out there, and I said, "Paul, you never told us what to say on the microphone." He goes, no, you guys know what you're doing. And me and Trent just looked at each other like, aye, okay, live microphone on Sunday Night Heat on MTV, WWF, you know, it was on Easter Sunday. I mean, I could have gone on that mic and said God knows what. Backseat Dudleys, yep. But yeah, man, you know, Trent always did. He always wanted to work his hardest. Back then, we had a taste, you know. To get hired by ECW like that, to get invited to their pay-per-view, I mean, me and him, we were on cloud nine. I mean, we were just like, holy moly. And if we would have been on those pay-per-views and we would have gotten the door with York and Matthews, then everything would have been different. Everything would have been different.
Yeah.
But
yeah, reason
whatever,
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just saying it happened the way it happened, and that, you know, can't change it. It happened exactly how it was supposed to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, reason I asked about Lobo, and, you know, your kind of move towards that style just a little bit, you know, in that time period was not a month later. I mean, you went out there with Justice Payne as your partner and fought Jun Kasai and Nick Mondo in one of the most famous hardcore matches in the history of the company.
Yeah, one of the that's back to your other question. I never set out to do hardcore, but what happened was I would always work up to the spot I was given. So if Zandig was to come up to me and say, out of nowhere, hey, kid, you're working main event tonight, well, you better believe I would have figured out some way to do something that was main event worthy. It's just how I think. And, you know, when he said, I think it was supposed to be Wife Beater, and yeah, it was supposed to be Wife Beater. It was advertised as Wife Beater and Justice Payne against Jun Kasai and Nick Mondo and the Fans Bring the Weapons. Okay, it wasn't even the main event. Main event was Lobo and Pondo in a ladder, barbed wire, no rope, barbed wire.
Yeah, which was never even mentioned after you guys did that match.
No. Could you imagine having to follow that if you were those guys? I wouldn't even have
went
on.
Yeah, I felt so
but
bad
anyway.
For them. I was like...
I know, right? They could have had a 5-star and it wouldn't have made a difference.
And
anyway,
on paper,
that match is on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you go to youtube.com/Johnny Cashmere and click on my favorites, you'll see it right there. There's a whole playlist for Backseat Boys matches, which has that in there. There's a whole playlist for Vanilla Man Candy, me and Matt stuff from New York, and a couple other feds is all right there, so you can check that out. But, so Wife Beater was in another country is what had happened, and he couldn't make the event. So Payne was like, well, what do you think about tagging him there? I said, yeah, what the hell? Let's do it. So I just sort of stepped in and just filled the role. And then before you know it, I was stepping in, filling roles a few more times, and I just kept upping myself, and it got to the point where we did the double stack DVD, me and my manager, Dewey Donovan, on top. Lobo had us both at Cage F5, and
that's later on.
Top of the cage through two tables, and that's where I sort of, like, that was it. That was, I only appeared on CZW one more time after that, so that was sort of like my culmination, you know? Me and Matt are going to make an announcement tonight, by the way. We're going to start a new gimmick, and we're going to announce it in a few minutes here. So we tried to think of something to give you that will be exclusive. So we gave you that. That the Evolution of Vanilla Man Candy right here on Yakuza Kick Radio. How's that?
Awesome.
I like that.
So ask Matt a question. I feel bad he's not talking.
Cool. Yeah, Eric,
yeah.
I want to make it about Trent, guys. Like, I want to make this about Trent, but we did the honor. We honored him. RFvideo.com will have the DVD. You know, I don't want to make this sad. I want to make this happy. Trent was a happy guy, and he would want us
to.
I want, you know, Vanilla Man Candy, me and Matt, is like, our whole tag team is like a memorial to Trent. So, you know, by us plugging our stuff isn't us trying to get ourselves over. It's us trying to just, you know, help Trent's name stay out there.
You know, if nothing else, I think Trent would really want you to succeed. I don't think there's a way he would want you to fall off the business ever.
No. And
he wanted Matt
to be a backseat boy as much as I did. He chose Matt as a backseat boy as much as I did.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
he
picked us. He picked his successor, in a sense.
Yep.
But anyway, sorry, so I'd ask Matt your question. Sorry, guys.
No, I was gonna. Hold on 1 second. Give me 1 second. Let me try to do something real quick. There's something wrong with the switchboard. I got to fix it. No, I'm actually not texting. Hold on.
It's a picture text.
Why is this not? Okay, hold on. No, because I got muted for a second. All right, give me 1 second.
Well,
all right, okay, I'm good.
Listen.
All right, I'm good.
When I had found Matt, he had just got let go from WWE, and he had just moved into our area. And he came to me through Matt's Nate Stein when we were still running PWU. Now, Matt is someone that I didn't know much about the developmental system in WWE and how it works. Matt shined a whole new light on that for me. I have a whole new outlook on the business now because of that. So if you guys want a question, that's a good question to ask, is the FCW stuff, because that's the future of the business. I wanted to
get into that, and I wanted to ask Matt this question. Matt, when you started with FCW and you did the developmental stuff, let me try to get this question the right way. I had this earlier, and now I lost it. What is the whole mindset of quote unquote agent slash what the fuck does that word? Like agent slash management towards developmental. What are they really looking for, or what were they looking for? Did they give you feedback on your matches, or was it mostly promos or?
Yeah, it's both. That's something that I might have picked up on a little late. They kind of want to see. They trained me. I was trained by WWE staff, Tom Pritchard, Norman Smiley, Billy Kidd, and Steve Kern, and I was kind of expecting them to lead me along. But really, what goes down is they want to see what you can do for them. So they give you a platform to shine on, and then it's up to you to prove that you can make them money. So it's all that stuff. It's getting over with the crowd, you're working the ring, your promos, your appearance, all that stuff.
Now who are some of the guys in your class that you had trained with?
A lot of guys around. And Sheamus, worked Sheamus two times, Drew McIntyre, all the NXT guys. The only guy I didn't train with was Darren Young. And then in the new class, two of the guys I did not train with. So it's probably a few more. I'm forgetting. But, yeah, Sheamus, Drew. Pretty much all the new guys. Abraham Washington. Byron Saxon, who's the ECW commentator. I'm sure he'll be back on TV pretty soon. So a lot of new talent. They're pushing new talent, which is great to see. And I had the opportunity to train with some of the best. So it's great. It's great.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
It was very cool. It was a great start. When they released me, they said I wasn't ready for TV. They still liked me. Get some more experience. So, it was a godsend with Johnny and Trent and, everything I've learned the past year on the indies. It hasn't even been a year. It's been, I guess, nine months or so. And, I've learned so much from working with both of them and, doing the indies. And, I'm just getting a, total appreciation for the business, the total experience, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah, Matt's being brought up the old school way too, so he's one of the last of the old school soldiers. There's really not much old school out there anymore. People think old school when they think, Barry Windham, and they think Rock and Roll Express. It's more than that. It's a mindset. It's a respect for the business. It's an innate respect. It's like almost a reverence for the business, an awe of the business. It's a passion. It's a burning desire. After just having one conversation, the first time I met Matt, I knew that he wasn't going to get to sleep at night if he didn't get to be a wrestler, that he wasn't going to be okay in his life if he didn't get to be a wrestler. And that's a quality I look for in all of my students. If you don't have that burning desire, then it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. If you ask anybody who ever did anything great, they're going to tell you that they didn't know how they were going to do it, but they knew they were going to do it. They knew they were going to do something. They knew they had to do something because that burning desire was so great on the inside. And Matt has that. To me, that's why he's my partner. No other reason. That's what you can't teach someone. That's the intangible.
Yeah, I was when I got released, I was literally on the phone the next morning with some people I knew back in Philly, talking about moving home and finding a place to train and stuff. So it was never even a question. It was just, getting,
which we still haven't found.
Getting back.
Still haven't found that place to train.
Working on that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's great though. You didn't miss a bump in the road. I mean, a lot of people give up. You get to that high point, and then you get more or less cut off. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't even think twice. They move on with their life. I mean, they just keep going and find another way, and just keep learning and learning. I mean, that's that's definitely to be admired.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's like getting it's like getting a B or something. Like, that's not, you know, in school it's not good enough. I mean, I got to, you know, a high level, but it wasn't the best. You know what I mean? So
right, right.
It's just that's what I'm working on now.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's something Trump would have said right there. So,
yeah.
But I want to say something. If you're a wrestler out there, you're just getting started. Matt reached out to WWE at an early time. He was smart. You know, I was stupid. Me and Trent never reached out. We thought that we were just going to be so good and shine so bright that, well, how did you hear about these guys down in Philly? We have to sign them, sight unseen. And life does not work that way, guys. So, you know, send your stuff. You know, Matt stays in touch with the office all the time. You stay in touch with TNA too, right, Matt? I mean, Matt's a better networker than I am already, and I've been doing this 12 years. So it's all that together. It's the promo ability. It's the facial expressions. It's being able to carry an angle. It's being able to be believable as a human being, guys. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah.
Believable as a human being. There's some guys I watch on TV, and I think, what do they do when no one's watching? Do they act like this when no one's watching? I mean, it's just disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, you
and
can dress up like the Halloween,
read,
but...
Yeah, well, how about guys that can't read a simple situation? I mean, with Trent's death, I can't tell you how many people have just exposed themselves to me as just not being able to read a simple situation. I don't know how some people got this far in life, to be honest with you. And I'm not even a cynical person. Anymore. But anyway...
But,
do you guys have any more questions?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if I could flash back another memory, just kind of wonder, you know, what's your feelings on Caged Death 4? That was 02, you...
Don't tell me.
Okay.
What was Caged Death 4? 4 was...
Think concussions.
The tag team match. Me and Trent versus Wade and Mondo in ladders and tables and what was it, TLC?
Yeah,
and I got a concussion, right?
Yes, I did.
Wow, okay, I remember that match. I got the concussion from the double stomp. I put the ladder on my head like Terry Funk and started spinning like an idiot. And he jumped off and double stomped me in the head with the ladder around my neck. And then I just started seeing stars. And I asked referee Brian Logan, I said, when's the match going to start? Ring the bell. And he said, what? And I grabbed Rick Blade and on complete autopilot with no memory of this, I hit him with a second rope cradle breaker.
Yep.
And it looked great, and I don't even remember doing it.
And even finished it with the gator mouth.
Yeah. And then at the end of the match, I said to Trent, I said, I messed up, didn't I? He said, what? Messed up what? I said, the opening, the beginning. And he said, the match is over. So what? I was totally lost. I'll never forget that. You're right. Was that the time I came out with, did I have mistletoe on the end of my baseball bat?
You might have.
I think it was.
You might have.
Yeah, I think it was.
It kicked off a good series of matches with you and Blade and the whole, that's when you know, the Batman gimmick came out. That bat match you guys had next year, that was another great fucking match.
That's right. I remember I watched Jedi lightsaber battles to prepare for the bat match. That was fun.
You walked out with
the choreographed spot.
Yeah, with the bat bag and shit. And they're like, who? I think it was House in the ring, or was it House or Gargiulo in the ring? And he was interviewing you. Who do you even think you are? I'm Batman. With a fucking smirk on your face. That shit was funny as hell.
And I actually have Nick Burke makes wrestling tights now. It's what he does for a side job. And he makes all the Vanilla Man candy tights. And he is making me a black pair of tights with the bat logo on the back with like a nice yellow and black with like a yellow drawstring. So I'm going to do
that. Cool.
I love it. Yeah, definitely. But I want to tell you a funny story about that match. I used to be a pitcher in baseball. And I said to Rick Blade, I always had my baseball bag with me, so the baseballs were in it. So I said, let's do something a little different. Since it's a bat match, I said, I'll get introduced first. When you come through the curtain, I'll stand on the second rope, and I'll pitch balls at you. I can't remember if I was on the second rope or if I was, like, just in the corner, but I was there.
I think
and
you were on the second rope, and he was just bunting them off.
And I had two baseballs, okay? And
yeah.
They were not brand new, so they were, like, that dull color like they'd been played with.
Yeah.
So Blade wears glasses in real life, so we didn't even think that he wouldn't be able to spot the ball in the background. So he comes out. I hit him right in the head. Watch the video, right? Rewind it. Like, go right to it and do slow motion, and you see it bounce right off his head. And he just looks at me, and you see him. He shakes off his head, and he just looks at the fan, and he goes, you will read his mouth. He goes, that son of a bitch just hit me in the head with a baseball. You can read his mouth, right?
Yeah.
So he came in the ring all groggy, but I'll tell you what, he did not miss a beat.
Yeah, Blade was great. Where's Blade been? Have you talked to him, or?
No, I heard someone told me that they had gotten in touch with him about the Trent thing, but I don't know that to be true, and I haven't heard from him, so I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what's up with him.
I know he kind of separated himself from the business once he had kids and stuff, and I mean,
well, yeah,
you can understand that, but...
Well, he kept hurting himself.
Yeah.
He kept getting
yeah.
hurt. I mean, one time we had him, I'll never forget, he jumped off the wall. It had to be a two-story, three-story, something like that.
Take one.
Off the wall, and it was, we did two tables, a double stack, table with a table on top. They laid Trent on the top table and me on the bottom table, and then they put, like, a chair over me.
Right.
So we went through Trent, and then that table broke and hit me, but my table didn't break,
that
but it still looked good.
I was thinking take one where it went wrong.
That was the first TV taping, you mean?
Yeah, take one. Yeah, that was take one, and,
That was when he got the compound fracture.
Yeah, that was a scary moment.
I was actually thinking about starting to run that building again, maybe. I don't know. We'll see, because
yeah.
we have, you know, we definitely want to start our own school, me and Matt. Have, like, a Trent Acid school, because Homicide's in Philly now, so he would be the head trainer. So between
yeah.
me, Homicide, and Matt's actually a personal trainer. So with him, you know, doing the warm-ups with the students and stuff, and then me and Homicide training them, we'd have a winning formula. So that's what we're going to start working on for the future.
Yeah.
Try to do as much as we can with that, you know.
It's a great idea. You know what I mean? If you have the money and, you know, you guys have the vision, then you guys can make it work.
Yeah, I mean, we need a place to train regularly ourselves. It sucks to have to drive all the way to Allentown or wherever we have to drive. It's too much.
Well, Allentown's good. No, don't be knocking Allentown. Allentown's a good place to
oh,
you
yeah.
know.
I'm just saying.
You're from Allentown, aren't you?
Don't be shooting on Allentown. No. You get...
They call out of town and say, I don't like to go there.
You get heat.
Of Allentown.
Whatever.
You get heat. You'll get heat with
people of Allentown. Okay,
Johnny
say,
don't come to Tom's River no more neither, so what can I tell you?
Nope. That's right.
Too bad. Is Matt still on?
Last time I was in Tom's River. Yeah, Matt's
huh?
on
Oh,
line.
Boy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Is Matt still on? Matt, I was just reading up a little bit, and I saw something. I'm like, oh, I got to ask him, and it's going to be kind of, like, funny. But at a PW, the 50th year anniversary show, you wrestled Tatanka.
Yeah.
What the hell was that? How was that like? What? I mean, the guy... You know, WWF superstar, and I mean, I've seen some, like, recent stuff with him, and he's not the same. What was that like, working with him?
It was awesome. I mean, that was my first match on the indies. He's a great guy. You know, I was a little nervous. I hadn't wrestled in a few months. I had the 90-day no-compete thing, and, you know, I've been used before that. I've been in the ring pretty much every day for the previous, you know, 6 months or whatever it was. And he was cool. He was great to work with. You know, I learned a lot from him. And just, you know, being a fan of his growing up as a kid, I mean, it was just an awesome experience. So, yeah, I can't
say
picture?
No. Sorry. I was just saying, how about that picture of you? What is it, you, Raven, and Tatanka on your Facebook?
Yeah, I got that up there. Where those guys had a autograph signing that day, so I got to hang out them there too, and just kind of pick their brains about stuff. And you know, that's the thing. Anywhere I can learn, if I can learn from somebody better than me, I always try to. And, you know, the Masters of Taco was definitely, and, you know, getting to kind of talk to before and after the Masters was definitely one of those experiences.
That match was long, too. That wasn't like a five-minute match. You guys did like 12 minutes, didn't you?
Yeah, it was like a 12-minute match. So that was my longest match of that period, too. So, yeah, it was cool. He, you know, he was great. He's the... he's a veteran, and he's great to work with.
Mm. Yeah, good shit. I get a chance to see that, but it sounds awesome.
So,
you guys can check
our,
out on YouTube.com.
Right?
You can check out YouTube.com/JohnnyCashmere. Like I said, at the Vanilla Man Candy matches, you can check out our entrance. You can check out our promos, our wrestling. It's mostly comedy right now because
right.
We're evolving as a tag team.
Right.
But that's how me and Trent started. If you watch our early stuff, it was all comedy until about a year and a half in, and then we started getting really in sync with each other, and then it just sort of took on its own momentum, and we didn't even have to force anything anymore. I'm sorry if I cut someone off. I'm sorry. I couldn't tell who I cut off.
No, not at all. Now, there's times you guys went back to the comedy, and you still had it. You know, think about, like, the Jive Turkeys.
Jive Turkeys was... I had a Halloween party at my house, me and my two roommates. I mean, we had shot girls. We had outdoor heat lamps. We had catering. We had kegs. We had beer pong. I mean, this was like the craziest party I've ever had, and I invited the whole locker room. And we were there, and, I mean, everyone was just having the time of their lives. And that's when me and Trent, we needed to dress up for that. So we said, let's be 70s. You know, soul brothers, like black guys. So we went out, we got the wigs, we got the outfit, yada, yada. I had a rubber chicken, and he had a cigarette that he had in his mouth and a mustache. And I mean, we did blackface.
It was funny as hell, man.
We
were dying.
Sex machine. Yeah. It was a CZW Delaware. We even cut promos in black voice. Oh, what a
yep.
Dang slang. We were talking.
Yeah,
like
Trent
that.
Started out. What it is? Shit like this.
And
he
had a shout out to his boy Ruckus.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man,
funny.
That was
so
funny.
So funny.
I just copied the what is it? Charlie Sheen from Money Talks with Chris Tucker, where he says it's like a G dog on the fly tip, flossing with the posse, cutting in the crib. I stole that on the microphone. It got a little pop.
Yeah.
That was fun, man.
Yeah.
Miss those days, you know? And that's what was cool about Saturday, seeing everybody. And, like, my worlds collided. Like, did you ever see that picture of The Simpsons where it's every character The Simpsons ever had on that one picture?
Yeah.
Or the picture of the Marvel Universe where it's every superhero?
Yep.
Like, that's what Saturday was like for me. It was just everyone in my career. My friends, my family. I mean, it was to the point where I didn't have time to talk to everyone. I mean, people came in from all over. I mean, Matt, like, for Matt to meet, like, Big Mac Smack, the guy I broke in the business with, like, that was cool shit, you know? Like, Mike Keener, a guy that taught me my drop kicks, you know, for him to be there and meet, like, Joe Attell and hang out with him, my new boy, you know? Like, it was just, like, my new crew and my old crew and my crew before that and my crew before that and then my crew from home and then Trent's crew, and it was just everyone. I mean... You know, like Lex came in from the UK. Messiah came in from Houston. I mean, we had people from all over for this. It was just, and I wish I had more time to spend with everybody, you know, but I really didn't. Phil Apter stopped by. I mean, guys came out of the woodwork. Guys like Lupus from the early ECW, from the early Ravens flock, he showed up. I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
So many guys that I had to look at twice, like, who are you? You know, and they're like, are you kidding? I mean, but just so many people changed. I mean, you could look at people and tell how they've been living. Oh, he's happy. Oh, she's not doing good. Oh, he's doing good. I mean, you could just tell.
No.
I don't know,
he showed
man.
You how long you've been away, man.
No, I mean, it's not even that I've been away. They've been away, too. You know, it was a lot of guys that just let themselves go, that just said, you know, they're not in the business anymore. They're living normal lives. Let me tell you something. When I was younger, I used to dread a normal life. I was scared to death. A normal life? What? Now, that's all I want. Just a normal, everyday, mundane life. That's the way to live. You know, you can't live your life on the edge all the time, you just can't do it. Got to even out somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
So no burning the candle at both ends for me.
Yeah,
but,
I hear that.
Don't forget, we got our announcement to make coming up. We're going to promote this. You like that?
Well, anytime you're ready. Anytime you're ready, you can keep
I'm walking into A-plus.
The carrot. I mean, that's on you.
As I'm walking out of A-plus, I'll make the announcement. So give me like 3 minutes.
Not a problem.
Dun, dun, dun. Thanks.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, the big announcement's coming. It's
so, Eric, you got another question, or did you hang up, or, I mean...
No, I'm still listening. I'm just listening to stories.
How about anything on the internet? Any chat room or call-ins? Any punks calling in?
There's really nothing. I have the chat room open.
To hell with them then. It's late. School night. In the summer.
The
work night.
Okay. I'm supposed to plug my own show, but I don't think that's right now.
That's the most important thing about this whole broadcast, brother.
No, he wants to plug the other show. That's fine, dude. You know, Golden Cravat, bro.
Golden Cravat. Well, somebody has a question for you, Johnny. Since you won, somebody from the chat room, me for you, 1994 posted, Johnny. Since you won the wild card, when are you starting your training for the Shamrock Tournament?
I started it Wednesday. For the Shamrock Tournament.
Do you know who you're working in there?
Actually, I don't know. It's whoever got the second most votes. I'm not sure who that is. But basically, it's, I want to say, 6 first-round matches. And then the winners of each match go into a 6-way at the end. And it's elimination, and the last man standing is the Shane Shamrock winner. That's how they do it.
You know who else is involved in that right now, or?
Yeah, I do. I know Ruckus is in it. I know Rich Swan is in it. I know last year's guy, Ryan McBride's in it. Or is it Joe McBride? I'm sorry. I know what Joe McBride is.
Ryan McBride.
Trying to think. If you go to MarylandWrestling.com, you'll get the complete list. I know the SAT, Joel and Jose are in it. Actually, one of the matches is a tag team match, now that I think about it. One of the opening round matches is a tag match. It's SAT versus somebody. Oh, Philly hats are $6.99 here at A-plus, in case anyone was wondering on the radio. I'm getting a Nature Valley Oats and Dark Chocolate Bar, Matt. Is it too late? Should I not?
No, you go to bed late. So,
all right,
you know.
Cool. Yeah, I woke up at 9 o'clock. That's how bad my sleep schedule is. That's my personal trainer. You should plug your personal training thing, Matt.
You can get me at mattwalshtraining@gmail.com and just shoot me an email there, and I'll be happy to answer any of your needs.
What's the website? Do you have a website too or no?
mattwalshtraining.com.
Word. Best trainer in Philadelphia right there, y'all.
Right.
Actually, you did whip me into shape. If you go back and look at pictures of me, I met Matt in September, and then I got in shape in, like, October. So he definitely whipped me into shape. The first day I met him, he came into my bar. Remember that? I was working at the Purple Orchid Strip Club. I was a DJ. He came into my bar, and one of the girls kept looking at him. And I remember I went up to her, and she was the hottest girl in there. I said, "What's up?"
Yeah.
She said, "Is that Jason Worth from the Philadelphia Phillies?
Are
you friends with him?" I didn't even know who he was at the time. I said, "Who?" And then I went and looked him up, and I'll be damned if you don't look like Jason Worth.
I get the word a lot. I get the Worth thing a lot.
Well, Worth went and grew a beard so that he didn't get mistaken for you, he said. That was nice.
Go Phillies.
Never bad to be fucking compared to somebody famous. Never.
Exactly. So you ready? Should we make our big announcement, Matt?
I'm ready.
Go right
if you
ahead.
Are.
All right, I'm ready. Dun, dun, dun. So, Vanilla Man Candy, the spinoff of the world-famous Backstreet Boys tag team. So, we're trying to think, how can we evolve our gimmick, okay? If we come out to the ring and we just do the whole Backstreet gimmick and we just ask for money, then it's the Backstreet Boys. And the Backstreet Boys, I love them. It's the greatest time of my life. But they're laid to rest. It's done. Just like the Backstreet Boys. Laid to rest. Woo. So it's it. I mean, it's done. It's yesterday. So we're going to start the Vanilla Man Candy. We're going to start trying to take a lot more tag bookings, trying to get ourselves out there more, starting on the 31st at the Shane Shamrock. So anyway, we're going to try. I'm actually, for real, in the running in 2011. I don't expect to win in 2011. I expect to win in 2012. But I'm in the running in 2011 for Mr. Gay Philadelphia. So I'm actually going to, I already had a whole new outfit made with my pageant sash and my crown, and it's almost like a Neo King gimmick. I'm going to be Mr. Gay Philadelphia. Matt is actually training me to be Mr. Gay Philadelphia for real in Philadelphia. And Matt has a gimmick of his own. I guess I'll let Matt tell you about his part.
And, you know, since I like to, you know, bang chicks, I'm gonna be using the running for Mr. Straight Philadelphia.
Mr. Straight Philadelphia. There you go. There you go, guys. And what do you have, Matt? It's like a, it's almost like Kurt Angle's gold medal around his neck and a gold crown to my silver crown. Now, I'm not wearing a tiara. I'm masculine, guys.
We might do it with a gold, you know, chain like Cena used to wear or something like that. But, yeah, you know, we're putting that together now. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be over.
Yeah, and we're going to do public workouts so that way all the ladies and men can see it. And we're still accepting ones and fives and 20s. The bigger the bills, the more attention you'll get from us, obviously. I know Annie Social, my student and Trent's student, was actually going to tag with Trent. The way me and Matt were going to be a tag team, Trent was going to do like a mixed tag team thing where Annie would manage him and then he would, you know, quote-unquote valet for her, and then sometimes they would do mixed tags, yada, yada, and that's his daughter in the business, so it's keeping it in the family. So we've sort of asked her that whenever she's available, you know, she'll sort of be the honorary member of Vanilla Man Candy, and she's going to be Miss Bi Philadelphia. I forgot. I never even told you that, Matt. That's what I just told you. She's Miss Bi Philadelphia. So, as you can see, we've hit all major markets. We just need some minorities now. And by the way, guys, I'm making full use of my new minority status, by the way. I'm like a big fish in a small pond now. I'm not even compared to the straight wrestlers anymore. It's like I'm in my own category. I'll take it.
Hey, I mean, I could say this much. I could say, listen, man, that, you know, that's obviously not my lifestyle. I got 3 kids, and
how many cats?
But
do you
overall,
have
cats 9. But
nine. Okay.
Kids
so
3.
12.
So fuck everybody who turns a cat in because their wife just had a kid. I mean, I can't keep this cat. I got 9. We're good. So anyway,
nice.
Yeah, hey man. I mean, to you know, I mean, in any profession, that's just about career suicide to come out, you know, with what you are, like if it's a little too controversial. And honestly, I mean, it takes every fucking bit in a dude to come out with any of that type of shit. So, man, I mean, it's definitely respectable for somebody to really, you know, put everything they got on the line for motherfuckers to accept it. And if they don't, fuck them. You know, I mean, that's your business, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I am what I am, man. You turn 30 years old,
fuck
and it's a lot harder to lie to yourself.
32, believe me, I'm fucking telling people all types of shit they don't want to hear. It's not that, but it's other shit.
Well, just remember, Christ didn't do anything till he was 30. So how can we be expected to do a lot before age 30? We can't be. That's why I keep telling Matt, relax, you still got time.
He built stuff. He's a carpenter.
Yeah, I know. Well, he trained up until then. That's it. And one miracle at age 12. But that's it. Other than that, I didn't do nothing else.
The wine, too. He made he was at a party. He made the wine.
You're right.
Water.
Wedding feast at Cana.
Yeah.
I almost went in the seminary. I know my bibble.
Here's the cap.
So there it is. So how do you feel, Matt? Are you like me? Do you feel a weight lifted now that you came out as Mr. Straight Philadelphia?
I do. You know, I hope the fans can be accepting of that, and you know, I'm confident in I'm confident in my straightness, and I think they're I think they're gonna be
you know
I think they're gonna come along and you know be down for it.
That's great. On Saturday at the Acid Fest, I had to let one of the internet guys help us by doing the results. So we did it on my Facebook because I have like 3,000 friends or whatever. So he needed my password. So I had to give my Facebook password out to this dude that I don't even know. So I said, how did I word it? I said, all right, I'll give you the password, but I'm warning you. Don't go making any straight posts from my Facebook account. I thought that was funny. So I'm very self-deprecating. You can't make fun of yourself. Who can you make fun of, you know?
Yeah.
So I amuse myself, so I just hope I can amuse others while I'm amusing myself, and then I'm in good shape.
Yeah, man, whatever is you, man, do it.
But, dude, I like that you guys have this forum going where you can give your opinions. I love the fact that, you know, the backseats inspired you to get into the business. I took off work tonight just so I could make sure to give you the launch that you deserve. I'll come on any week. I'm sure Matt will come on any time. You got to let us know ahead of time so we can nap in the afternoon because we're 80.
Oh, definitely.
I get to bed early. But,
Oh, naps.
Exactly.
Oh, you gotta love those cat naps.
It's so true, though, man. My sleep schedule's the worst. I woke up at 9 o'clock tonight.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, 9 o'clock tonight. 9 o'clock in the morning. Wow.
Well, no, I'll be up at 6 in the morning. I'll go back to sleep around 3, be up at 6. That'll be
wow.
It. And then I'll hit the gym. So I just discovered that my complex has a pool. A big, beautiful one. I was sitting at that today. And the sun kept going in and out, in and out. The water's 80 degrees. It was still too cold for me. I swear my body does not change temperature good. But that's what I'm doing the next few days. Dude. I'm going to be by the pool, get nice and tan, get my workout in. There's nothing better than getting done your hour of cardio and coming home and diving in a pool. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That'll be – and I'm going to use the 31st, the Shane Shamrock, to sort of be my excuse, you know, to get really in the best shape of my career. Because I want to go out there and earn – I want to earn the victory, and I want to have Trent's name engraved. I already told them. I said, if I win, you know, put Trent on the trophy because I'm doing this for him, not me. I'm not even a tournament-style wrestler, guys. I'm doing this. I'm adapting my style for one night.
Hey, man, you subbed in as fucking winger and did a pretty good tournament-style final.
That.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying. There's a good amount of that fucking crowd that didn't know what the fuck was going on, so.
Yeah, wait, what was that? Hold on a minute. Hold on. Refresh my memory here. That was best of the best one. And winger, what was it? I wasn't even in the tournament. Me and Trent.
No, but you and Trent were feuding. And
he had turned on
you came in to screw Trent by being an extra winger and shit. And then,
right.
You know, you got whatever work in and then.
Right. So
you know,
and two matches. And then for the third match, the main event was winger and Trent. I dressed in winger's gear with the mask and went out and worked the first half of the match, and people really thought I was winger. I did all the Japanese
spots. Right, and then all of a sudden he was gone, and then he was back, and it was like, oh, shit. And I seen what
he
happened because I already knew your fucking moves, and I was like, that's fucking Johnny right there. I was like, that's fucking Johnny.
You know,
like, oh, yeah. I was like, you know, certain people, like, you start seeing how people punch and how people, you know, hit the rope and shit, and you're just like, that's fucking Johnny right there.
That's good. I didn't even know it was me, so you did good, dude. That's good, you know?
Nah, but, I mean, the work in the ring had most of the crowd stunned looking at it going, damn.
Thank you.
Oh, where's this winger coming from? What the fuck? So, you know, I mean, it came off really well.
I just, in about 60 seconds, we will be, we'll still be on the air, but the listener, it will be only up for archive. From that point on, because we only have 60 seconds, which is a minute left in the show. But it will, you know, from here, if we want to keep going.
Well, we're pretty much wrapping up anyway.
Okay.
I had a great time. And like I said, you know, anytime you want us on, just give us like 48 hours notice and, you know, we'll pop on. I think that, you know, if you ever need a guest host, if one of you guys can't make it, you know, let me know. I'll do it. I love doing stuff like this. So,
yeah.
You know, anytime you need, if you need me to help get you guests, call me. I'll use my connection. I'm sure Matt will do the same. You know, whatever you have to do. Right. So
definitely, man.
All right. And then if you want to
try having you on, both of you.
Since my finisher is the bicycle Yakuza kick. Since my finisher is the bicycle Yakuza, maybe when I'm the host, we can call it the Bicycle Yakuza Kick Show.
The Bicycle Yakuza Kick Show. Now we're gonna stick with Yakuza Kick, bro. You know.
Damn you! I know you damn well won't.
Stretch, goddammit.
Thanks,
you got
guys.
It.
Matt, I appreciate you staying up for us, man. Good looking out.
Nah, much love,
bro.
Yeah. It's cool, man. It's cool.
We really appreciate it.
Word.
All right.
See you guys.
All right, you guys have a good night. All right, Jay, that was our very first show.
I think we did all right.
I think we did all right. Yeah, I think we did. We had Johnny Cashmere on, Matt Walsh. Before I go, I got to promote my show, Blog Talk Radio, the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show, blogtalkradio.com/theGCWF, and it is on next week with a special Blackout reunion show with three of the members of Blackout confirmed, and we will be back next Thursday at 9 o'clock Eastern time. We're gonna go over Tournament of Death. We're gonna go over a little Home Sweet Home, and whatever else was on our mind. But for me, Eric Williams, and your host,
Morris,
we are going to go bye bye. Have a great night.
Hey.
Take care. Bye.